Let's turn in the scriptures now to Leviticus in chapter 10. Leviticus in chapter 10, we are going to read verses 1 through 20 of Leviticus in chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, starting in verse 1, these are the words of God. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he, that is the Lord, had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them. And they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "It is what the Lord spoke, saying, 'By those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people, I will be honored.' So Aaron therefore kept silent." Moses called also to Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Aaron's uncle Uziel, and said to them, "Come forward. Carry your relatives away from the front of the sanctuary to the outside of the camp." So they came forward and carried them still in their tunics to the outside of the camp, as Moses had said. Then Moses said to Aaron and to his sons Eleazar and Ithamar, "Do not uncover your heads nor tear your clothes, so that you will not die, and that he will not become wrathful against all the congregation. But your kinsmen, the whole house of Israel, shall bewail the burning which the Lord has brought about. You shall not even go out from the doorway of the tent of meeting, or you will die. For the Lord's anointing oil is upon you." So they did according to the word of Moses. The Lord then spoke to Aaron, saying, "Do not drink wine or strong drink, neither you nor your sons with you, when you come into the tent of meeting, so that you will not die. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations. And so as to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, and between the unclean and the clean. And so as to teach the sons of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them through Moses." Then Moses spoke to Aaron and to his surviving sons Eleazar and Ithamar, "Take the grain offering that is left over from the Lord's offering by fire and eat it unleavened beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it, moreover, in a holy place, because it is your due and your son's due out of the Lord's offerings by fire, for thus I have been commanded. The breast of the wave offering, however, and the thigh of the offering you may eat in a clean place, you and your sons and your daughters with you, for they have been given as your due and your son's due out of the sacrifices of the peace offerings of the sons of Israel. The thigh offered by lifting up, and the breast offered by waving, they shall bring along with the offerings by fire of the portions of fat, to present as a wave offering before the Lord. So it shall be a thing perpetually due you and your sons with you, just as the Lord has commanded." But Moses searched carefully for the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it had been burned up. And so he was angry with Aaron's surviving sons Eleazar and Ithamar, saying, "Why did you not eat the sin offering at the holy place? For it is most holy, and he gave it to you to bear away the guilt of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord. Behold, since its blood had not been brought inside into the sanctuary, you should certainly have eaten it in the sanctuary, just as I commanded." But Aaron spoke to Moses, "Behold, this very day they presented their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord. When things like these happened to me, if I had eaten a sin offering today, would it have been good in the sight of the Lord?" When Moses heard that, it seemed good in his sight. Those are God's words. You remember the last chapter, the glory of the Lord appeared to the people, to all the peoples. And the priesthood was set up. They were ordained and consecrated. Now in chapter 10 is a description of the first things that they did after their ordination, after the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And they were going about doing what they were supposed to be doing. And Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, the priests. Remember, Aaron is the high priest. Nadab and Abihu, his sons, were just regular priests. And they went about doing what they were supposed to do, but then they tried to improve upon God's commands of how to worship Him. How to worship Yahweh. And so they offered strange fire before the Lord. And out from the Holy of Holies, because they did what God had not commanded them to do in His worship, God consumed them with fire. Both of Aaron's sons, and they died. And so here we see verse 3 that the Lord is to be treated as holy. And what Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, did in adding to worship did not treat him as holy, nor did it, verse 3, honor him. Sometimes we think if we can just do a certain thing, it would help our worship or encourage worship. And we think that would be a praising and honoring thing to the Lord, because in our hearts we think it's a good thing. But what we find here is that when we do not do what God commands, we do not honor Him as God, and we do not treat Him as holy. And so we need to be careful to worship God in the way that He has commanded, not in the way that we think He ought to be commanded. Even things like just normal reading and preaching of the Word, we think that God should be honored and worshipped in such a greater way than just reading His Word or preaching His Word or partaking in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. But God has given these things to worship Him, and that's how He wants us to worship Him. Further than that, our passage teaches us that it's a sin, that it is sin in us constantly to be trying to make a different way to worship Him, or a better, quote-unquote, better way, and taking that which is common or worldly and considering it to be something sacred or holy. And so we add to or we take away from worship when we take what is worldly, like entertainment, like many churches today do, and trying to entertain people with a band or music or certain things, and or even dramatic presentations, people acting out maybe a story from the Bible. And so you're taking those things that are common or worldly and bringing them and considering them as holy and sacred. And what we do when we do that, if we do that, is to create an idol. And that is why often when we're talking about the second commandment, we're talking about worship, because the second commandment says we ought not to make an image or an idol of anything in heaven or on earth below. So do you have idols in your lives? And do you bring those idols to worship? Well, right after the deaths of Nadab and Abihu, there's another error committed by the other two of Aaron's sons, Eleazar and Ithamar. They had not followed the commands concerning the laws of the sacrifice. So it's the same day. And the worship of God continues, right? It's 24/7. Sacrifices are to be offered. And Eleazar and Ithamar had been given the laws of the sacrifice, what they were to do. And according to the command, these young men should have eaten the sacrifice, a certain sacrifice they were to eat. And yet they burned it. They burned it like a burnt offering. But how could they eat? That's the question that Aaron brings up. How can they eat when their brothers have just died that very morning? Let's say they died that morning. And they're supposed to eat. And most people would not be that hungry if the fire of God came out and consumed their brothers. But that's Aaron's defense, and what we see here is also not only the holiness of God, and that we ought to treat Him as holy and honor Him in worship, and so only do what He commands in worship. We also see that when we do not do that ourselves, when we add to wrongly and sin against God, that God is merciful to His people. And here He's merciful to Eleazar and Ithamar, and not consuming them with fire. And so in the same chapter we often go to describe God's holiness in worship, we see also His mercy in worship, which is to us every time we gather together. Because He calls us to worship in spirit and in truth, and we fail in that every Lord's Day. And so we ought to be taking special care in how we worship, especially elders and pastors. as under shepherds of the flock, and the words we use, the actions we take, but also in our hearts and how we worship and how we not just go through the motions, but really truly desire to worship and praise God and love Him. Our God is holy, and this is holy worship. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful for not only Your holiness, but Your goodness and mercy and love. And that those two attributes and the many other attributes that You have are never separated. You are unchanging. You never change. And so You are always the God who is holy and love and good and the God of truth and mercy and faithfulness and justice. And Father, we're thankful that You are all these things and never not these things. That there You are never less than infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in Your holiness. And You're never less than infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in Your goodness and mercy. But You are perfect and eternal and infinite in these things. And Father, we praise You for Your holy worship, that this worship we read about and the sacrifices and the tent of meeting and tabernacle. Father, we're thankful that we do not have to go to Jerusalem to worship in such a way, that we do not have to find a particular one tent in this world to only worship You at. But Father, we can worship whenever we are gathered together because Your Spirit is present with us. And those things that show forth the heavenly things that we've learned in Hebrews, Father, we are thankful that they continue to show us those heavenly things as we look back and think upon them. But now, as we gather and worship today, we are thankful that we don't have all those commands dealing with each particular sacrifice, but we have Christ, Your Son. And You've given us, bringing us together, the church in which we come and we worship Christ before Your throne, before His throne. He as our mediatorial King, who is our Redeemer, as we'll hear about this evening. Father, we're thankful also that You give us Your Holy Spirit in our hearts, that You call us to worship You by reading Your Word. Some of these things that the world thinks are foolish, like we hear about in 1 Corinthians. We are commanded to read Your Word. We're commanded to preach Your Word and hear Your Word. We're commanded to sing Your Word. We're commanded to pray Your Word and lift up our requests unto You. We are to celebrate and see Your Word and taste Your Word and feel Your Word and smell Your Word in the sacraments and here today in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. That You would remind us once again through different senses that we have with taste and smell and feel the sacrifice of Your Son as we hear in the Gospel in Your Word. And so, Father, as we are thankful for all of these things, we do plead that You would be worshipped in accordance with Your Word and with our hearts, that we would earnestly plead to You all our requests, and that You would hear our prayers. But not only that we would earnestly pray, but that we would earnestly praise You as we sing Your Word and sing the psalms that You command us to sing. And Father, we ask that You would help us in these things. We are not adequate. We are not unchanging. We often fail and we are not able to perfectly sing and perfectly hear. And so, Father, we plead for Your Spirit to be among us and to help us. And we do know that whenever two or three are gathered, You are with us. And so we are praising you that Your Spirit is already present with us. And You've already answered our prayers. Now, Father, we have sinned against You even in this time that we've had, only in the few moments we've been here before Your throne. We have not even come on this, the Sabbath day, with hearts looking to be resting in You alone, but we've been thinking about earthly and worldly things. And we brought those things, those worldly common things, into Your worship. Father. And Father, we ask that you would forgive us of that, and forgive us of failing to keep this day holy, and even some who are not among us today failing to keep your day holy by gathering in the assembly of your people. Father, we ask that you would convict them in their hearts and forgive them of their sins, that they would be repentant as we pray for ourselves, that we would be repentant, and you would forgive us of not loving you and honoring you and thinking upon you all this day, even all this time. We are often distracted. Father, forgive us. Father, forgive us for making idols, for making images, whether images or idols of the things in heaven above or things here on earth below. Often we are worshiping and making these idols and bringing them unto you. And so, Father, we are thankful for your covenant mercy to us, that it is abounding and it is steadfast, and it goes to us, your children, and you bring it to us. Father, we're thankful for your love, that you, even before we had done good or evil, before we were born, you loved us by sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And Father, as we believe that, we do believe Jesus died for our sins on the cursed cross of Golgotha, of Calvary. And you raised him up from the dead so that we might in him not only die to our sins, but be raised to life forever. And this we look in hope and forward to, and we ask that you would receive our worship now by your grace and mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.